You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 19th, 2020. Coronavirus still sweeping around the world. 75,000 confirmed cases, 2,000 deaths, and the numbers continue to go up. And they're trying to decide now that if you're cured, can you contact and get coronavirus a second time? No clear answer on that story. So we have a big debate coming up with the Democrats tonight. Last night, we began to see some of the fireworks start early. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, appearing at a town hall on CNN, said he thinks it's obscene. Those are his words, obscene, that someone like former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, is trying to buy the presidency. He said trying to buy the presidency while the rest of us have been working hard, doing town meetings, talking to thousands and thousands of people, but we're not worth $60 billion. And then he said, but I will support the Democrat nominee. And by the way, he was also asked, well, what if you're the nominee? Would you take some of that money from Michael Bloomberg? He didn't really want to answer that question. He did say, I'm not going to release any more of my medical records. I've released as much as I need to. I'm done with it. There is a national poll out, a new national poll that shows Sanders is currently leading the Democrat presidential primary by 15 points. 32%, according to an ABC News Washington Post poll. Former Vice President Biden at only 17%. He's down 11 points from a month ago. And Bloomberg is now in the poll and rising. Oh, Hillary Clinton says, no, I will not sign on to be Bloomberg's running mate. I'm just watching as this plays out. I'll support whoever the nominee is. Well, there have been some speculation that it will be Hillary as the second person on the Bloomberg ticket. May be the only way he could win. Of course, she had said in a previous interview, I never say never, but no, never. Maybe. You don't know with this woman. Andrew Yang, of course, is out. He is one of those who was running. He's a big businessman. Tom Steyer's a big businessman. They're both out. They couldn't compete. And Andrew, well, of course, Steyer's still in the election, but he's on the debate stage. Andrew Yang has packed up his campaign, said, we're done. He said, I will support any Democrat who's willing to give every American adult $1,000 a month universal basic income, I'll come in and support you. Right. In the meantime, what's Andrew Yang going to do? He got a cushy job as a political commentator on CNN and NNN. Tulsi Gabbard, did he get the job you could have had? We almost forgot, I forget all the time, that Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat of Hawaii, is still running. You didn't know it? You didn't hear much? Well, see, there's the problem. There's her problem. Maybe she can come on as a female political commentary for CNN and NN. We'll see. So Ron Blagojevich is free of prison. President Trump commuting his 14-year corruption sentence after he served 8 years. The president said that's been long enough. Trump setting him free. Did not give him a pardon, just commuting. NASCAR driver Ryan Newman, good news about him. He's awake. He's speaking with his family. This is after that crash that happened Monday during the 2020 Daytona 500. It was a scary wreck. And the only way this guy came through that alive is because of all the new safety efforts they have put into these cars and the cages surrounding the driver. Dateline, Gainesville, Florida. So you're an a contractor. You're at a house and you're doing some work, and you need to get under the crawl space under the house, and you crawl under and you find dozens of gallon-sized jars filled with something. What is in these? There are dozens of them. You get one out in the sunlight, and it's tongues, human tongues, thousands in jars under this one house. Turns out it belongs to a doctor who passed away long ago, and they think he was taking them and going to do some research on them and just had them under there because it's cool space. But you're the contractor, and you find these jars and jars of what could you say? I mean, what cat got your tongue?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
When it's over, so let's see, it'll rain.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have the debate coming up tonight. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But throughout the rest of this hour, I also want to tell you about states that really have the lowest number of immigrants, and yet they are paying some of the highest amounts of money to support immigrants in other states. And, of course, Rod Blagojevich, former governor of Illinois, had his sentence commuted by President Trump. Not a pardon. A pardon would actually expunge his record and say that he was never convicted. The commutation acknowledges that he was convicted, but rather than serving all 14 years, he serves only 8. We're going to get into that a little bit later. And a review, a fascinating review, my friend, of the corruption inside the state of Illinois involving politicians. And it is not just one political party. Now, by the way, one of the things that Blagojevich was trying to do that was his undoing at that time was to fill the Senate seat by then junior Senator Obama as he left to become president. That created a vacancy, and the governor had the right to fill it. And one of the names he was considering, a very, very big, big name, one that everyone would know. Maybe you never heard this. I'll have that for you. And also, before we're finished this hour, a story of courage, maybe just an instinctive act, but it is still courage, and it ends up saving 2 children. That story is still to come. So on the stage tonight, I want you to keep in mind, every candidate on tonight's debate stage would sell out the U.S. They're already trying to do it when it comes to things like socialism. And, of course, they're trying to do it on making us a sanctuary for anyone who wants to come in, unvetted, just come across our border. We don't need a border anymore. They would absolutely destroy this country from inside like that. And specifically on socialism. How much you'll get into that tonight? I wouldn't count on it being a lot, but I want you, if you bother watching tonight or if you listen to them, keep in mind what they stand for. They may say some things that would appeal to you, but keep in mind they are socialists, even the moderates. I have a quote, I believe it's attributed to Thomas Sowell, American economist. I'm going to have to do a full piece one time on Thomas Sowell. If you're not familiar with him and his writings, it's a fascinating man, and he speaks so much truth, so simple. One of the pieces that I was reminded of, one of our listeners sent in to me, that he, I think, attributed to Sowell. I don't know for sure if this is an exact quote, but it's very good. And his remark is that the strongest argument for socialism is that it sounds good. The strongest argument for socialism is that it sounds good. The strongest argument against socialism is it doesn't work. But those who live by words will always have a soft spot in their hearts for socialism because it sounds so good. We're going to give you free. We're going to give you everything. You're entitled to anything and everything that an American has if you get here by whatever means. You think I'm stretching it. You think I'm making too much of it. You think I'm putting words in the mouth of these candidates, I tell you I do not. Former Mayor Pete Buttigieg repeating his claim that the U.S. of America belongs to illegal immigrants as much as the country's citizens. Illegal immigrants have as much right here as U.S. citizens or even legal immigrants. And you got Senator Elizabeth Warren. Says that everyone who is here, everyone who is here illegally must have a path to obtaining American citizenship. And, of course, the idea there is for the Democrats is if they get citizenship, then that 11 to 22 million illegals and the number grows will probably become Democrat voters. And that's what they're doing. They're selling out the country, selling the socialist idea for votes. And in California, they already understand socialism. They endorse it. They like it. They're trying to do more of it if they can. And they also know that when it comes to illegals, you can change the face of California if you give illegals more rights and protection. And what that means is that California Democrat politicians will get more support and votes. Does that say it's good for America or just good for Democrats running for an office? You know the answer. I know the answer. Fact is, they know the answer. They don't want to admit it. So the other day, the California governor, Garcetti, appeared on a piece of video with his police chief standing beside him and was talking about how we look at dealing with illegals and what we will and will not do in cooperating with federal immigration law. California Governor Garcetti.
No matter their immigration status, I want every Angeleno to know their rights and how to exercise them. Remember, you have the right to remain silent. You don't have to open your door to an ICE agent that doesn't have a warrant signed by a judge. Most importantly, I want you to know you do not need to be afraid. Your city is on your side. And rest assured, here in Los Angeles, we are not coordinating with ICE.
I said governor, I meant mayor of Los Angeles. Mayor of Los Angeles, Garcetti, Eric Garcetti. And he's telling all the Angelenans, we're on your side. And if you're here illegally, we will be here for you. We will not work with ICE. We will make sure we give you protection. Well, within that context, I want to introduce you to someone else. She's what is called an angel mom. An angel mom, angel dad, angel parents are those who have had loved ones, maybe their own children, killed by an illegal. Agnes Gibney, her son was killed in 2002 by an illegal alien. She is now running for Congress. But she saw that video of L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti appearing with his chief of police beside him. Here was her thought.
The chief of police is only agreeing with the mayor because he's afraid to lose his contract and be fired, and Garcetti ought to be arrested. He's protecting the immigrant community. Well, the immigrant community has no fears or concerns about Trump's policy. What Garcetti is refusing to say is he's protecting illegal aliens, those that commit crimes. And I'm not saying that every illegal alien commit crimes, but they commit a significant number of crimes. They take jobs from Americans. They steal your identities, and this is not okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay. So she has decided. She's decided that maybe she needs to step up rather than just be an angel mom. Sitting at home, looking at her son's picture, crying and dealing with that on a daily basis. Maybe she needs to step up. And therefore, she decided that she's going to run for Congress. And the reason is very clear.
After my son's murderer was released early in November of last year, and I finally got him deported, I felt very strong and very empowered to fight for Americans, to fight for my country that I love and respect.
Now, you might detect in her voice, well, she doesn't sound like a Native American in that sense. She sounds like, you know, she has some foreign blood in her accent or something. And you'd be right. She is not a Native American. She came here as an immigrant herself, legally. Legally. And therein is a rub that the Democrats want to gloss over every time. They want to say President Trump and you are against immigration. No, I'm against illegal immigration. And yes, when it comes to legal immigration, we do need to set some quotas, some standards, some numbers, so we're not just letting people in that are going to become part of the social service system and needs and so forth. And maybe it's better to have them contribute. Maybe it have a merit system as they do in Canada. You want to get into Canada as a citizen, you have to prove that you're not going to come into the country of Canada and become a freeloader. So anyway, this woman who's lost her son, killed by an illegal alien, is here as an immigrant, a legal immigrant, now a U.S. citizen, and so proud of this country. Listen to her story.
My parents escaped Hungary after the Soviet Union invaded the country. And I wanted to tell you, my parents left everything behind to enjoy freedom. And we either going to be Trump 2020 or socialism. And I will choose Trump 2020. A million times over, never socialism, because socialism oppresses you and takes your freedom away. And I will not sit back and allow my country to turn into a socialist country. And President Trump was so correct when he said America will never be a socialist country. If I can help it, United States will never be a socialist country. My family fled that disaster. I was 2 years old, and when we immigrated to United States, I was stateless. We were stateless because the government took our citizenship away. This is the only country I have citizenship of, and I took my oath of citizenship extremely seriously to defend mm-hmm. and protect my country. And the mayor and that chief and everybody else who is in power should do the same, and including those in Congress. That's why I decided to run, to bring some integrity back to the House of Congress.
That woman is right on target. She's running for Congress as an immigrant who came to this country, became a U.S. citizen, came here legally, became a U.S. citizen. She knows and her family knows the perils of socialism, and to accept all this pie in the sky as offered by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders and the rest of that ilk, they know that there's nothing good for you in the end. And then she made a statement near the end. She said, "Well, I took my oath of office to protect my country." And that's what every person who serves this country in an elected position should keep in mind. You take an oath of office, I don't care if it's for your city or your county or your state or Congress. Your allegiance should be to this nation and this people, not to some far-flung idea that we're going to take this country and tear it apart from inside so it would be unrecognized 20, 50 years from now or less. And do you remember the Kate Steinle murder case involving an illegal? There's a new development on that story. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'll bring you up to speed on that. And before we wrap up the hour, the Rod Blagojevich commutation. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, looked at the cost of illegal immigration and the anchor baby population for American taxpayers living in the 10 least immigrated populated states. In other words, you'll find the fewest number of illegals in these states: New Hampshire, Mississippi, Alaska, Maine, North Dakota, West Virginia, South Dakota, Vermont, Montana, and Wyoming. And they found that even in these low migration states, of the 415,000 foreign-born residents living in these 10 states, about 88,000 are illegal, which means about 20% of them are illegal. Along with 35,000 of their U.S.-born children, those 88,000 illegals cost American taxpayers $454 million per year. Each illegal costing anywhere between $4,000 to $6,000. FAIR points out, you put that figure in context, $454 million is more than 200 times what the state of Montana budgets for its entire Veterans Affairs program. 200 times. And then, of course, they look at what's happening in their local school districts and so forth. They point out that in Lewiston, Maine, that community had to absorb 7,500 migrants, mostly refugees from different countries. Lewiston, Maine, a population of 40,000. 75 migrants coming in, mostly not speaking English, which means the teachers then have to learn to try to communicate to these kids in a student body that might speak as many as 30 different languages. The cost of illegal immigration. We're not even talking about legal immigration. The Kate Steinle case and the murder, her murder in 2017. A perfect example of illegals in the country and the harm they can cause. The guy that was charged with killing her on the San Francisco pier in 2015 was a 7-time felon. Deported 5 different times. And he came back, and he came back, and he came back, and he went to California because it's a sanctuary state, and they're not going to really try to check and find out if you're there illegally. If he had not been on that pier on that day as Kate Steinle was walking along with her family, she might be alive. He found a pistol on the pier or somewhere along the way. He found it and ended up dropping it. It went off accidentally. They say bottom line is he had illegal possession of the firearm, killing her. And you know what they've now decided? It's now been decided by a California court that he is mentally ill, incapable of standing trial. So not only a travesty that she is dead, and dead because of a guy that we deported five different times, kept coming back, but now not capable of standing trial. Sickening. So Rod Blagojevich gets a Trump pass, get out of jail early. We're going to take a closer look at that and other Illinois politicians who have spent their own time behind bars. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
And all those things I didn't say.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Last night, Rod Blagojevich spent his first night in his own bed in 8 years because he was spending his time in prison. Elected the 40th governor of Illinois, January 2003, serving through 2009. The first Democrat to win the office since Dan Walker had walked in as a governor, Democrat candidate 30 years earlier. Then he got re-election. Then he got impeached and removed from office for corruption. Convicted of soliciting bribes for political opponents, including trying to collect money to sell Barack Obama's vacant U.S. seat after Obama was elected president in 2008. Blagojevich convicted, sentenced to 14 years in federal prison. So yesterday, the president commuted his sentence, ending his sentence 4 years early. Now, again, I'll remind you, difference between a commutation and a pardon. The pardon would expunge his record, and he would no longer be convicted. You could say, well, he was convicted. If he was pardoned, no, he was not convicted. It didn't exist. Well, you and I know it would still exist, but a pardon would wipe that out. President Trump did not do that. He acknowledged that he probably needed to spend time in prison, but felt he'd served enough, 8 years for the charges. So today, Blagojevich was holding a news conference outside his house and talking to people and saying, I look at myself as being a Trumpocrat, a Trumpocrat. Let me correct that again. Trumpocrat. A Trumpocrat, saying the president saw wrong and corrected it. Blagojevich, when he got the word yesterday that he was going to have a chance to be freed from prison, was obviously excited. And then as he's waiting to board a plane, to head home to Illinois, he gave a brief interview.
It's our most profound and everlasting gratitude to President Trump for doing what he did. He didn't have to do this. He's a Republican president. I was a Democratic governor. And my fellow Democrats don't treat him very good. So all I can say is I think this is the ending of the first act of a two-act play. And I think there's a lot that needs to be done in the second act so that wrongs that have been done can be righted.
And to that extent, Blagojevich is now saying, I want to devote my life to fighting the corrupt criminal justice system. During his trial, he testified, said, look, I'm a flawed dreamer grounded in working class values. He said all these hours of the FBI recordings were just ramblings of a politician who liked to think out loud. Now he says, I'm going to fight against the corrupt criminal justice system that too often persecutes and prosecutes people who did nothing wrong, who oversentences them. He's coming at this with the background and knowledge now of 8 years behind bars. And he says, I have a better understanding of where we have abused our justice system. And so I'm going to work now to devote my life to corrupt the criminal justice system. To fight the corruption in the criminal justice system. Trump made it clear that he saw similarities between the efforts to investigate himself and those who took down Blagojevich. Trump said, the prosecution involved the same people. Comey, Fitzpatrick, the same group. He was referring to Patrick Fitzgerald, the former U.S. attorney who prosecuted Blagojevich and now represents former FBI Director James Comey. Blagojevich, of course, became the first Illinois governor to be removed by lawmakers in a nearly unanimous vote after he was impeached in 2009. But the state of Illinois does not have a good record when it comes to elected politicians and corruption. Before we get to that, the response from Democrats and Republicans that President Trump decided to commute the sentence of Rod Blagojevich. Illinois Governor Pritzker, a Democrat, said President Trump, quote, abused his pardon power in inexplicable ways to reward his friends and condone corruption, and adding that the pardon sends a wrong message at the wrong time. Did somebody tell the governor this was not a pardon, this was a commutation? He wants to throw it around as if it's a pardon. I told you earlier the difference. A pardon means there would be no record of his conviction ever. It would be wiped clean. He did not get that. The president said he probably deserved some time, but not like they've hammered him. Kind of the same arguments being made right now, reference Michael Flynn and the possible sentence Roger Stone might face. Illinois Republicans. The Illinois Republican congressional delegation issued this statement. Blagojevich is the face of public corruption in Illinois. And not once has he shown any remorse for his clear and documented record of egregious crimes. As our state grapples with political corruption, we shouldn't let those who breach the public trust off the hook. History will not judge Rod Blagojevich well. That's a statement by the Illinois Republican delegation. Corruption in Illinois? I don't have time to go through all of it. But let me begin by referring to the House of Representatives, since I just read a Republican congressional statement. Several members of the Illinois delegation of the U.S. Congress have been convicted of crimes, not those signing off on that statement right now. But let's go back through them. One of them, Dan Crane, Republican, censored in a congressional page sex scandal for having sex with a young congressional page. That was from 79 to 85. Defeated for re-election. Another Republican, Dennis Hastert, longest serving Republican Speaker of the House of the U.S. House from 1999 to 2007. But in 2006, he got caught up in a championship of a $207 million federal earmark for part of his district involving land, an investment that he and his wife made, and of course the whole issue about money and everything else. Not good. Dan Rostenkowski, Democrat, U.S. Congressman from Chicago for 36 years, Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee from 81 to 84, a federal investigation accusing him of various acts of corruption, taking kickbacks, participating in what became known as the Congressional Post Office Scandal, ended up pleading guilty to 2 counts of mail fraud, 17 months in prison. Mel Reynolds, Democrat, a U.S. Representative from 93 to 95, resigned from Congress after having been convicted of having sex with an underage campaign worker. And then while serving a 5-year sentence, convicted again in 97 of unrelated charges of bank fraud and using campaign finances for personal expenses. Another Democrat, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson succeeded Mel Reynolds as congressman from Illinois' 2nd Congressional District. And Jackson admitted to violating federal campaign law by using campaign funds to make personal purchases. Guilty. Convicted 1 count of wire and mail fraud. Sentenced to 30 months in federal prison. Those are just members of the Illinois legislature. And I don't mean Illinois state legislature, but representing Illinois in the Congress. Governors, in addition to Blagojevich, Otto Kerner, well, let me, before I do that, Lynn Small, the 26th governor, found to have defrauded the state of $1 million, Republican. Otto Kerner, Jr., 33rd governor of Illinois, following a 73 trial in which his prosecutor was a future Illinois governor, James R. Thompson, Kerner convicted of mail fraud, conspiracy, perjury, 3 years in federal prison. Dan Walker, another Democrat, 36th governor of Illinois, improper loans, conviction, sentenced to 7 years in prison. George Ryan, 39th governor of Illinois, serving from 99 to 2003, pleading guilty to fraud, racketeering, various acts committed during those times as being both Secretary of State and governor. 6.5 years in prison. He was the 39th governor, and look, turned right around, and then the 40th governor, Rod Blagojevich. 18 counts of corruption. 14 years in prison, until now commuted. Wow, Illinois, your record is very close and maybe surpasses the corruption record in Louisiana. You know, Blagojevich was considering appointing someone with a big, big name to replace the seat left vacant by Obama. That story when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Train a coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That's perfect song. stuck in Folsom Prison. We just talked about, and I don't want you to get down in the dumps over it, but it just shows that power sometimes corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The state of Illinois, out of the governors, one, two, let me see, Small, Kerner, Walker, Ryan, Blagojevich, what's that, five, six governors from Illinois convicted, going to prison for charges. Louisiana has almost as many. I'm looking at how many exactly. I can't find it right away, but I do know the state of Louisiana has something like almost, I can't find the number, 70 Louisiana politicians either sentenced to prison or probation. Makes you want to lose your faith in the political process, doesn't it? So when Obama was leaving the U.S. Senate representing Illinois in Chicago, they needed someone to fill that seat. That's where the problems began in part for Blagojevich, because supposedly he was saying, I'll sell the seat. If you want it, you got to give me some money, 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 and I'll make sure you get the seat. But before it reached that point, there was a name going around that he was considering appointing, because he had the power to fill the seat during the vacancy. And he said, the person I want to nominate would probably be the most important person in the presidency. A larger-than-life figure in America and around the world, already has a huge bully pulpit, tremendous support, a voice larger than all 100 senators combined. Obviously, the person can't be bought. And said, obviously, in my judgment, a very impressive, very nice person. Would this person take it? Political analyst Chris Matthews, looking at the proposal that Blagojevich was thinking of doing, saying, yeah, you name this person to the Senate, it would diversify the Senate and raise the collective IQ of the Senate. Chicago Sun-Times writer said, naming this person would be terrific. Who are they thinking of naming? Who is Blagojevich going to name to replace Obama if the person would accept it? The person admitted, yeah, I think I could be a senator. I think I could be a very good senator. But I don't really know I want to do that, so I'm not that interested. Do you know who it was? Again, Blagojevich was saying this person would be most influential as a U.S. senator, would be a powerful voice for the Obama program. Can't be bought. Very impressive. Very nice person. Chris Matthews saying just the idea of this person serving in the Senate would raise the collective IQ in the Senate. Oprah Winfrey. She said, well, yeah, I think I could be a senator, but I'm just not interested. And so she did not do it. Maybe if she had, when it first came around, maybe Blagojevich never would have been caught up in some of the other things that ended up putting him behind bars. You know, there are times in life you like to think that if there's a crisis, an emergency, a disaster, you'll be heroic. You'll act at no thought of danger to yourself. You'll just act instinctively, maybe. Or maybe even if you recognize the danger you're going to face, you just say, it's important enough that I try, even if I might not have a chance, to save someone else's life. There are around schools on a regular basis, as you know, during the school year, crossing guards. In some places, and I served as one when I was in grade school, as a crossing guard at my school. Maybe you did the same. We took it seriously. We'd stand out there, hold a stop sign, and hopefully cars would stop, slow down. that day and age, most did. Nowadays, it's a little more dangerous to the extent that schools often are not very keen about putting kids out there. They pick adults, sometimes police officers who are off duty are brought in, or the police try to arrange their schedule so they can have an officer on duty assigned to an area at that time. There's a parochial school in Kansas, Christ the King Catholic School. And they had a security guard, a crossing guard, standing out there on a regular basis, known as Mr. Bob. He saw two boys, ages 7 and 11. They were about to be hit by a speeding vehicle. 88 years of age, he pushed them out of the way. He was hit and killed. But he saved the boys. 88 years old. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.